happy Sunday. It will be April 7th when this comes out. I'm recording this on April 5th, Friday. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up as to what I'm getting ready to do. So over the next few months, I'm going to start transitioning and re-recording some episodes. So I had some episodes that were on Sinister States that I truly, truly loved. They were some of my favorites that I recorded. Because as you know, like mid-December, we stopped doing the spooky tales, the hauntings in that podcast. So I am going to slowly but surely pull those old episodes out, re-record them, just me. Because I want you guys to be able to hear them too. So, you know, I have like the Stanley Hotel and the Biltmore Estate, all of these great spooky locations that you can go visit today, and I don't have them on here. So I feel like they need to be on here. So therefore, that's the reasons why I'm going to re-record them. So I hope that you thoroughly enjoy that. You know, I have a great time on Sinister States, and I love it so much, but it's all true crime now, so I want to make sure that you guys get all of the things that were over there on this one, because I feel like it needs to. I could be wrong, but I feel like you guys would probably appreciate some of the things. So with that being said, I am going to do that. Of course, you know, it might just be like one episode a month that I bring over, because I had quite a few. I probably could look and see exactly how many that I had. But that's probably going to take a little bit of time. I do know, like, I had the Drish Mansion or the Drish House. I had a place in Tennessee. I can't even remember the name of it now, but I actually rode by it. It was like a plantation. So I had quite a few things there. So I just think it would be neat to kind of tie it all together, because I feel like it's only fair that you guys get all of it, and I don't want to miss out on any of that stuff. So with that being said, we're going to move on. I'm going to start with our missing persons. It's going to be a shorter version this time. This comes from the National Center for Exploited and Missing Children. So we have Abby Jo Blagg, and she's been missing since November 13th, 2001. I'm so used to the 2020s. She's been missing since November 13th, 2001 from Grand Junction, Colorado. She would currently be 29 years old now. She was last seen at her house on November 12th, 2001, between 3 p.m. and 3:30. Abby's mother was located deceased in June of 2002, but Abby is currently still missing. So if you have any information on her, please reach out to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. She's a cute little girl. So hopefully somebody out there knows what happened to sweet little Abby. Okay, so with all this, now we're going to get into this week's episode. So we are going to be at the Stanley Hotel. So let's get into it. So Freeland Oscar Stanley, he was an American inventor, an entrepreneur, and he eventually would go on to build the Stanley Hotel. And also, one of the things that he invented was the Stanley Practical Drawing Set. And like, school children would use these in school. It's crazy to think. And eventually, he would go on to create the Stanley Motor Carriage Company. And they would create these little cars called the Stanley Steamer, which, if you're from the South like me, I don't know if they're everywhere, but when I hear Stanley Steamer, I think of the company that comes in and cleans your house, or cleans your carpet. But The Stanley Steamer was a car, and it had a top speed of 127 miles per hour, which made it the fastest vehicle on Earth at the time in 1903. So F.O. Stanley developed tuberculosis, and he was given less than 6 months to live. So his doctor, of course, doctors had, you know, different recommendations back then. And so the doctor recommended fresh, dry air, sunlight, and a healthy diet. And most likely, still in the end, he would die. Probably within 6 months, was given the estimate roughly. So, and like most who had this diagnosis, F.O. Stanley and his wife would leave their home and head for the Rocky Mountains. So when they would go there, you know, they're going there with the intention that he is most likely going to die. So they leave Massachusetts, and his doctor even promised him to come in September to bring his body back home to bury him. Like, that's how sure his doctor was that he was going to die. But within just a few months of being there, F.O. Stanley was able to hike, they said, 5 miles a day, and he was nowhere near death's door. And so he fell in love with Estes Park, Colorado, and this place, you know, gave him a second chance at life. And so he decided he was going to stay there. That's where he wanted to be. So he looked like he was close to dying when he first got there. And it said that he roughly weighed 118 pounds, basically like 1 foot in the grave and, you know, just ready to go at any moment. But then within 4 years, he was completely recovered from the tuberculosis, basically, and in the best shape of his life. And in fact, he would go on to live to be 91 years old before he died. So in 1907, F.O. Stanley was determined that he was going to turn Estes Park into a resort town, basically. So he started his construction on the Stanley Hotel, which is still there today. During that time, though, he would also help build a hydroelectric plant up the mountain so that the hotel could be all electric when you came. And all of the rooms had phones in them, which were unheard of during this time, really, like for hotels to have all of this. The main hotel and concert hall were completed in 1909, and guests would begin arriving by trains, right? So you would arrive to this beautiful hotel by train, and then you were ushered to the hotel by a fleet of these Stanley Steamer vehicles that he had, but he called them mountain wagoners or mountain wagons. And so the Stanley was a summer resort at this time. So there was no heat added to the building until 1979. But other than those, it's basically still the same to this day. So the Stanley National Historic Registry, Historic District contains 11 structures, including the main hotel, the concert hall, the carriage house, manager's cottage, gatehouse, and the lodge. And a smaller bed and breakfast, originally called Stanley Manor. All of this is still there. You can go see it to this day. So in the 1970s, the Stanley Hotel was experiencing a downward spiral. It was just going down, which at this point, you know, the hotel itself is roughly 60 something years old. So of course it's going to be looking a little drabby and rough. But the splendor of it had faded, and the accommodations, like there were other hotels that were way more accommodating. You know, at one point, the Stanley was the place. They had so many nice amenities that other places didn't have. But now, at this point in the 70s, it's a different story. So, they didn't even have heat or AC, that, like most businesses. And there was also the reputation of it being a haunted place, which wasn't a choice selling point back then. Most people didn't want to go somewhere that was haunted like we do now. So the Stanley was doomed to be closed, and in 1974, it was set to be demolished when something happened. So it was a fateful night that would not only change literary horror history. It would also change the destiny of the Stanley Hotel forever. Stephen King and his wife, Tabitha, were living in Boulder, Colorado for a short time, and King was struggling with his latest project. At the time, it was called Darkshine. And so he was looking for, you know, somewhere to go, and some locals suggested try Estes Park. So that's where he went. And the night, they found themselves the only guests in the hotel that night. The next day, the hotel was to be closing for the season. So they were literally served dinner in empty rooms with, like, chairs on every table but their single chair. So that evening, Tabitha retreated to their room, which was room number 217. And Stephen King found himself wandering the long empty corridors of this place, just listening to the canned music. And he even visited the bartender. At the time, the name was Grady. So the Stanley Hotel's remote location and grand size and eerie desolation had King's imagination run wild. Like, he even claims, like, he went on to claim, and it's quoted of him saying that it was like God had put me there to hear and see those things. So in a retelling about that night, though, King said, and I quote, "I dreamed of my three-year-old son running through the corridors, looking back over his shoulder, wide eyes, screaming. He was being chased by a fire hose, and I woke up with a tremendous jerk, sweating all over, within an inch of falling out of bed." He says, "I got up, I lit a cigarette, I sat in the chair looking out the window at the Rockies. By the time the cigarette was done, I had the bones of The Shining firmly set in my mind." So, with that being said, we all know that The Shining went on to be a film. So, Jack Nicholson would play in it. I mean, it's a great, great story. But it was written based on the Stanley Hotel. He was there that night, and that's how his story came to be. So, there are many, many reported hauntings at the Stanley Hotel. So we are going to get into all of them. I just turned in my pages here. So here we go. So number one is the first place is the hedge maze. The open area in front of the Stanley Hotel was originally a long driveway for the Stanley steamers and a promenade for guests to enjoy the views. And in 2015, it was replaced with a hedge maze. They had a competition where they chose the design from 300 global entries. So they had 300 different entries, and they selected the one that they liked the best. This was done to connect the Stanley Hotel to the film version of The Shining, like, to just make it look more like the actual movie. And so they introduced this, and, like, in the movie or in the novel, the lawn of the Overlook Hotel was adorned with animals, like the hedge animals, basically. And while no specific ghosts have been reported inside this, people do tend to freak out and get super panicked and have trouble breathing while trying to navigate this maze and get out of there. So it's not, like, directly linked to a specific ghost, but people are terrified of this place. They are very scared when they're in there. So our second place is, and you guessed it, a pet cemetery. You probably didn't guess that. But it existed long before Stephen King's novel, Pet Cemetery. There at the Stanley, there is an actual pet cemetery. And there are two beloved pets that are interred there. And they like to make their appearance around the hotel. Cassie, the golden retriever, and Comanche, who is a fluffy white cat. Both have been seen and heard around the property. It's even rumored that that the dog Comanche is known to, like, it sounds like he's trying to bring you a newspaper and things like that. So you can definitely, there are definitely animal ghosts there, which I think is great. I just want to go see the little dog. So the next spot is the ice house. So before indoor refrigeration, The Stanley Hotel had an outbuilding which housed large blocks of ice. And it has been remodeled into a museum containing some of the original Stanley Steamer cars. So, and it is also said that they have two spirits that have been seen inside there. One is Billy, who's a shy kid, but it's often said that Billy will show up in photographs, super blurry, but he's there. So keep in mind, if you go to the ice house, remember to take photos in there. Always take at least 3 to 4 of the same spot so that you can try to catch differences. Just throwing that out there. Spot number 4 is a underground caves, or the underground caves. So if you take the 75-minute historic Stanley Hotel night tour, you will get to see these underground caves. So these caves have a high concentration of limestone and quartz, which some believe help capture the paranormal energy that happens there. But it was originally used by employees to get around the hotel, as back in the day, you didn't want to be seen. Like, they didn't want, and you'll hear a lot of older hotels, they have these underground tunnels. It's because they wanted their staff to not be seen or heard. Like, they just wanted you to be able to come in and nobody see you. So, but it is still used, or has been used, for employees to get around. And apparently there's still at least one hanging out there. Current employees say that the smell of homed baked goods linger in the tunnel with no apparent source. So they attribute this to a pastry chef who worked at the Stanley Hotel when it originally opened. And they also say that there's a gray cat that stalks these tunnels as well, that has bright green glowing eyes. But he is not known to be from that pet cemetery, so there's no telling where he came from, honestly. But they see the ghost of a cat down there, too. But apparently this pastry chef supposedly died, and you can still smell the things that he's cooking. So you can't smell what the rock's cooking, but you can smell what that chef is cooking in the tunnels, which is creepy. So, spot number 5 on our trip to the Stanley is the Vortex. That's what it's called. The stunning staircase between floors in the hotel's lobby has been dubbed the Vortex. Because it's known as a tornado of spiritual energy and sort of a paranormal portal for those ghosts that visit the hotel. Guests report cold spots and even feeling dizzy on the stairs, as though something or someone just walked right through them. There have been orbs caught on camera there, and it is said that Mr. and Mrs. Stanley have been seen there standing hand in hand, watching the hustle and bustle of the hotel in the day to day from the grand staircase. So the next stop is the concert hall. So the concert hall was initially built by F.O. Stanley for his wife, Flora. Like, he loved her so much, he wanted to give her a gift. But the stage featured a trapdoor that was used for theatrical entrances and exits. The lower level once housed a 2-lane bowling alley, and the hall underwent extensive repair and renovations in the 2000s, but they say it's still a favorite spot of Flora Stanley's, that she's been known to play the piano well into the night, and that there is another spirit that is also there at the concert hall. They call him Paul. And it's said that Paul used to enforce the 11 p.m. curfew in the hotel's early days, and that guests and employees report still hearing someone telling them to get out late at night. And a construction worker was doing some work on the floors in the concert hall, and he felt someone nudge him several times until he left. So they say, too, that Paul is a big fan of the tour groups, and that he will often flicker their flashlights upon request. So you can literally go and be like, "Yo, Paul, what up, man? Can you flicker the flashlight for me?" And he will, which would be awesome. Could you imagine? So one of the more haunting places, though, is the fourth floor. So guests staying on the fourth floor report hearing children running around, laughing, giggling, and playing. The closet doors tend to open and shut on their own. And more than a century ago, the entire fourth floor was an attic. Dun, dun, dun. But it would later become lodging for female employees, children, and nannies. So room 428 has reports of the sounds of footsteps and furniture moving about. But the real haunt is a friendly cowboy who appears at the corner of the bed. Obviously, many friendly cowboys have spent a night or two at the Stanley Hotel over the years, but there's no indication of one dying in the building. So they believe this to be the spirit of Rocky Mountain Jim Nugent. And they believe this because he mainly just appears to women. But he will sometimes try to give them a ghostly kiss. So this ghost is trying to put the moves on you while you're sleeping. Or not sleeping, but while you're there. He's trying to work with you. So there's also room 401. And according to some, it's the creepiest room in the hotel, as is thought to be haunted by an unfriendly male ghost. Women have claimed too, that they were inappropriately touched by an unknown presence while standing in the room's closet. One man even claims he witnessed his wedding ring inexplicably move from the bathroom counter and fall down the drain of the sink in the bathroom. So literally it just bloop and fell down. So then down the hall from room 401 is room 407, and multiple guests have reported odd experiences of being tucked into bed by some invisible force, and others have felt someone sit on the foot of the bed only to find nothing but an indention in the covers where someone was sitting. So, but when they switch the lights on, there's nobody there. So then we have room 428. As we had said before, this is where the vision of the cowboy comes and likes to stand over you. So that is a lot of them, but there's a lot of the hauntings at the hotel. But the main haunting at the hotel, of course, is going to be room 217. If you didn't know, but we had previously discussed, room 217 is the room where who stayed at? Stephen King. So, the thing is this room is probably the most haunted room in the whole place. So that's why we're going to break it down. There was a woman who worked there. Her name was Elizabeth. She was on staff at the hotel. And she was there on June 25th, 1911. So the valley had flooded. And the two-year-old hotel's power had went out for the first time ever. So Freeland Stanley took it upon himself to install gas lanterns in each room to provide the guest with lights. And so there had been a leak which caused a buildup of gas to form in room 217. So the head chambermaid, Elizabeth Wilson, entered the room with a lit candle, and at that time, she set off a massive explosion. Elizabeth did miraculously survive, but she was launched from the room's entrance to the dining hall, which was located on the first floor. So an estimated 10% of the hotel wasn't as lucky, and one observer reported seeing a bathtub fly across the air during this blast. Like, that's how intense it was. After waking up from a coma, Elizabeth eventually returned to work in 1913, and she remained employed at the hotel until 1950. This is where Wilson's story should end, but it doesn't. According to some hotel guests and staff, her spirit is said to still inhabit room 217. But reports claim that she's typically more helpful than scary. Guests have reported and shared stories of waking up to a room that was cleaner than it was the night before. Their clothes would be folded and even their suitcases organized, okay? One couple told a staff member at the Stanley that their bed had been made up around them during the night while they were still inside. But if you're considering staying at the famous hotel and you aren't married, you will not have the most restful night in room 217 because unmarried couples have reported chilly presences settling into bed with them as they try to sleep, as if her spirit is saying, no, 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 you are not married. This is not going to happen. So there are some other things also that happen there. F.O. Stanley did die in 1940 at the age of 91. They say that, you know, just like Wilson, many believe that he can still be seen and felt at the hotel, mainly around the bar and in the billiard room. The phantom of his wife, Flora, likes to tinker around with the hotel's pianos. And that's been reported on multiple accounts. So it is also said that there is a child that wanders around playing with people's hair. And of course, as we've heard, the fourth floor, people report hearing the children's laughter in the hall and no one being there. But that is basically it about the Stanley Hotel. You can visit it. They do tours. Let me try to get that pulled up because I know I have that information down here about the cost of the tours. I normally do. Yes. So you can go on a nightly tour. Let's see. Each tour offers you the opportunity to explore, ask questions, and perhaps leave with a few ghost stories of your own. The tour lasts roughly 60 minutes, and out of respect for our guests, the night tour will never go onto the guest floors. So you will not be going to like the fourth floor or the second floor. But ticket prices or standard price is $30 per person in advance. Or reservations are needed in advance. They recommend that you do that. And children under 8 are not allowed on the tours. So that is the Stanley Hotel. I hope that you greatly enjoyed that. Like I said, if you were already a listener to me, Sinister States, I hope you don't get bored with the repetitiveness, but I am going to be bringing over those episodes, like I said. So I hope that you enjoy that. I will be coming back at you, though, Patreon members, with a couple haunted lighthouses, and I think we're going to talk about Bigfoot this month. Why not talk about Bigfoot, right? Or I could do the Queen Mary. So we got some things coming, okay? But I hope everybody has a good week. If you're a Patreon member, I hope you listen on Wednesday. Remember, you can always send me your stories at evilwhisperspodcast@gmail.com. Just send those stories over. I definitely want to hear all the spooky stories. I have TikTok, Facebook. Make sure you follow me on Facebook or find the page on Facebook. But that's it. I hope you have a great week and I hope you enjoyed the Stanley. Remember to lock your doors and don't play with Ouija boards. Bye.